Radio, everbeyondradio.com, Tyrannisau from Ireland, ScottishSovereignsOnTheLand.ning.com. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening. How are we all doing? This is Ever Beyond. I am JP. There are so many wrong things about that intro. I've got to do it again. Anyway, actually, let's just see if Tyrannisau is receiving us. It's been a while since I could just talk to you. Yeah, there we go. welcome to Tyrannisau. If anyone's listening, yeah, come over. I'm in the Wolf Spirit Radio chat room, so go to wolfspiritradio.com/listen and join in the conversation. So we were talking in the last hour. We've been talking all day about, you know, how the Earth is and its history and its potential future. How do we want to be? How do we all want to live? And what is, well, where it started? That was about 15 minutes ago, and we know what we don't want. We really know what we don't want. And so, when do we formulate what we do want? That when, I believe, is right now. Right now. This is the moment when we need to put our plans into the future. This is the beginning of a new cycle. A cycle is finished. It finished last Saturday. It started on Rosh Hashanah. Was it last Monday? It was the new moon. That's right. Remember the new moon? And, you know, we're saying there's eclipses. Have you noticed there's like almost a, and you know, we used to get an eclipse, like, oh, there's going to be an eclipse. Oh, what is it? A moon eclipse. Oh, how exciting. You know, that would happen like, you know, every few years. We're getting eclipses every month. Do you know why? As I explained in the previous show, it's because all the planets are on a plane. We're all coming into it's if it was a clock, it would look like 12 o'clock, but it's on a planar level. It's on a plane level. So basically, we're all coming out at the same height, or, you know, not up or not down. So, and that's why we're getting transits of Mars and Venus and all that. Everything's coming into a line. That's what they call a solar alignment. And when those alignments then also align, you know, i.e. that's a pointing straight line, flat plane. If you were to put them on a piece of paper, they'd be on the same piece of paper. Flat plane kind of thing. With, for instance, the center of the galaxy. And that's what the galactic plane is. You know, that's the boundary layer between the northern hemisphere and the southern hemisphere. It's really a sphere. Solar system is really a sphere. They call it the heliosphere, don't they? Yeah. So we have a solar system that is aligning with the galaxy and all that sort of stuff. And we're also looking at getting these new energies in, this wave X. Again, we've been talking about this for a long time. We didn't know when it would come. We could feel it coming. We could feel things getting intense. And it's like, is it coming? Oh, it feels like really close. Like we didn't realize how intense it could get. You know, and every time we think, oh, it's getting close, it's because things have gotten really, really difficult, really, really intense. So, and the more intense things get, the more we're likely to see very unreasonable behavior between people. And this is also going on in the solar system. You know, there are planets swinging around. there's suns. There's all sorts of things going on. It's not a quiet place out there. It doesn't have that sign. You know, even we found out sound waves travel through space. Yeah. Oh, never mind. So it got thrown out of the kitchen, right? Well done. So yeah, if you want to call in and you know, continue this discussion, and basically, all right. So let's go back. I was talking about the Yom Kippur thing. So yeah, the Day of Atonement, the Day of Atonement. oh my God! When I was a kid, we used to, you know, what do you call it when you play hooky, isn't it? We used to play hooky for the when you go out of school when you shouldn't. I used to do that with on Yom Kippur, because it was a day long service, and me and my mates, we always used to go and have lunch somewhere, which is, of course, you know, it's a fast day, and we all travel down, and yes, we'd go to McDonald's. I was young. I didn't know. I was rebellious. Anyway, so that's what we used to do on Yom Kippur. Go and have a lunch break at McDonald's and go back later to the singer. Smelling of burger. Yes. There we go. Yeah, so anyway, we're meeting with the galactic plane here in these moments. And that's why we're getting all the eclipses. So, if you can, you know, you just observe with your mind's eye, if everything's on a flat plane, when something goes past, it's going to get in the way, and that's what an eclipse is. That's what eclipsing is. So, but not only that, what's interesting, okay, so here's an interesting thing, is basically that everything still has like a cometary tail. And there is a thing called the solar wind, which is about, 600 kilometers a second. I've no idea how many miles an hour that is. 600 kilometers a second, by my mathematical friends. And this stream flows outward from the sun at all times, called the solar wind. And so what happens is, whenever there's a planet, the planet is blocking this solar wind, and it kind of wraps around the back like a wake, that's what. So we essentially, we all have a tail, like comets have tails. The reason comets have tails is for exactly the same reason, except that because they're in the sun, they're boiling away, and all that stuff is boiling off the surface, and rocks are cracking up and all that stuff, and it's whizzing through, and that all gets slung behind the sun. You may have noticed that there were some of these comets actually had two tails, and that was like one was a trail of its stuff, and the other was the regular coma, the solar wind coma. Yeah. Meanwhile, we have say Venus, right? And what was interesting is that we had a Venus transit a few years back, a couple of years back, 2013 or something, and we got things that were supposedly of biblical proportions or biblical dimensions. They got red rivers and all sorts of stuff. Now, if you remember what I just said, is that all planets have cometary tails, and that the original cometary tail that we saw documented in Exodus was the tail of this same thing, which Velikovsky says is now Venus. So that the debris that comes off Venus, the tail of the comet, is exactly the same as the Ten Plague stuff. And, you know, we've been seeing red rivers and stuff. I know there was that Orange River thing, but that was chemical pollution. And well done, Walt. So we have everything's in a plane, in a line, and so when, say, Venus comes between us and the Sun, its tail will sweep us. When Mercury comes between us and the Sun, its tail will sweep us. And when the Moon comes between us and the Sun, its tail will sweep us. So we will get debris from the Moon during a lunar eclipse, which is probably why they say bad things happen afterwards. Because basically we're getting some lunar debris in our atmosphere. And presumably, I don't know, probably smells horrible. Now, we only get that from the inner planets. We don't get that from Mars, because Mars is behind us. Mars gets our stuff. It's like, you know, tailpipe. Now we have tails, yes. So, you know, we've got a tailpipe that is basically pooting out our sort of foul Earth atmosphere. You know, we wonder where it goes. Where does our, you know... and so Mars gets a residue of ours when there is a Mars-Earth eclipse, you know. Imagine, Earth probably eclipses the Sun, as far as Mars is concerned, but on a very, very rare basis. But that might be something interesting to see. Hey, the sight of Earth eclipsing the Sun from the surface of Mars. I wonder if anyone's ever done that, ever got that photograph. I'll have to ask the, our Mars observer. Anyhow, so everything's in a line. That's why the eclipses are happening. And so we're now waiting for the crossing. Now, everything's, you know, there's all this stuff, wave X. What is the letter X? What is the letter X? It's a cross. What's crossing? Well, the X may be the center of the lemniscate, the infinity sign, mightn't it? The forever crossing energy. If you think about, actually, the infinity sign, that's a good one. If you think about the infinity sign, if you take a Pringle and you turn it just the right way, edge on, you see the infinity sign. Because I believe the infinity sign is a Pringle. Yeah, I know. Poor Mars. Everything gets blamed on Mars. Well, basically, Mars is taking our tailpipe. And, you know, we have to be conscious of what we're pooting out. Pooting on the Ritz. Poor Mars. Everybody blames Mars. Oh. It's the Martians, I tell you. Yeah, yeah, you remember when ETs were Martians? Oh. The thing from Mars. Mars attacked, you know. Oh, well. Now we've got the beast from Alpha Draconis. Or, you know, the Pleiadian infiltrators or something. Anyhow, so we have the crossing. So what is the crossing? So, you know, I get the feeling that the solar system is a lot more complex than just... like a circular pancake with a sun in the middle. It's a lot more complex because you're talking about a 3-4 dimensional thing. You got something that is moving in space, inside something that is also moving in space, in something, in some void. And that space may or may not be empty, if you see what I mean. And so we may be hitting areas of crunchy space that, you know, just because the galaxy is moving through it doesn't mean it's going to change any. Galaxies seem to be able to move through each other. And it must be very complex when galaxies move through each other, and you can see them. There are galaxies you can see penetrating. At right angles to each other, just passing through. Is that like two ghosts passing through each other in a corridor? Yes, indeed. Testing 1, 2, 3. Yes, are you being a testing 1, 2, 3? Let me see. So, you can call in and join this conversation, or ask me to clarify. Actually, I'd love to be able to clarify things, you know, drill down, get down to the atoms. From the galaxy to the atom, it's a long journey, but it's the same thing. It's a fractal. It's a fractal. Indeed, if our Earth has a consciousness, Gaia, then other celestial bodies would as well. Yes, indeed. And, in these esoteric books, they were talking about the fact that the Earth and Mars, I think Mercury, were non-sacred planets, and that Venus and Jupiter and Saturn and Uranus, I think, were sacred planets. And that got me to thinking, well, is that just because they're big and fuzzy and they're like gas giants? And perhaps that's what it is. You know, when we're talking about ascension and, you know, the next expansion of what a light being might be. So, I mean, imagine, for instance, here's a potential thought of evolution from one state to another, is that you have a galaxy, and galaxy spits out stars, and stars whiz around, and they may, if they're big, they might spit out other stars, and so on, and right down when you get down to the lumps, that stars spit out planets that are essentially seeds that eventually grow into a star. Any thoughts on that? Anyone want to call in on that? The number to call, if you're in America. Oh, look at this. If you're in America. If actually the numbers are down on the side. Hey, Deb. Hang on. Yes, indeed.
That's what it is.
Yeah, you have to turn off your radio. There we go.
I did, sorry.
You did, well done. Hello, Deb, how are you doing?
Hey, how are you? It's been a while. I forgot to turn off my radio.
It has indeed.
I'm good. How about you? What a crazy time period, huh?
Yeah, well, I suppose I needed a bit of a rest before...
You did.
Before the famed Shemitah Yom Kippur.
Maybe,
yeah. It's funny because, in the last 10 days, I've actually been living in a very simple manner. I've been, I have to say, I've been making a birthday present for Nikki. To the forsaking of actually going to see her on her birthday because it wasn't finished. So, and I thought, I can't finish there. It's such rocky. And I've got to get this right. I've got to do this right. So
you better get it perfect.
Yeah. So, I managed to finish it at 9 o'clock this morning
good.
And so she arrived for her show this afternoon and she was just about to boot me and I said, here you are, dear. And it is beautiful. It's made from oak barrel edges. All right. So imagine the top of a barrel, right?
Okay.
Is made of strips that are then cut into a circle.
Okay.
Yeah, and the circle has this edge that is a kind of wedge. It's a wedge-shaped edge. Yeah, comes to a point. And that hooks into the end of the barrel stave to keep, and then the copper, the iron ring holds all that together, one ring to bind them all. Yeah, that's what cooperage is. Anyone called cooper, that's what coopers do. They make these rings that hold oak barrels together. Anyway, so...
Okay, I've seen those. Okay.
So I get the oak barrels for firewood at the other end of their life, when they're no longer useful as barrels.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the oak is beautiful. It's a really lovely wood. And if you plane it down, if you sand it and plane it, you get a beautiful wood. It's like new wood. Like the inside of the barrel has got this, it's about like 9 millimeters dark layer, and that's where the wood, that's where the sherry and the whiskey is soaked through.
Ooh, nice!
And so when you drill and sand this stuff, it's, you know, it smells of bananas and, you know, this lovely fruity kind of thing. So, it's hard work, but it's been quite fun. But anyway, so I built this thing, and it's made of, as I said, it's made of 100-year-old oak barrel wood that has been polished to a fine polish and then oiled, and so it's very dark, you know, like a classic oak. And then in the inside of it, I hollowed it out. Imagine hollowing out oak, yeah? Now, you get an idea of how much work I've been doing this week. And I've installed an electronic circuit that is...
Oh, boy, here we go.
Yeah, okay. Here's the thing. This is combining the old with the new is like... I've called it the complementatron. And basically, it's you know, like these rainbow crystal lights that you've had for years?
Yeah.
Yeah? You stand your crystal on it, and it goes through the
rainbow. Yeah, and it changes color, and then it puts the light through it.
That's it.
Sort of?
Yeah. So, essentially, imagine two of those set into this, what is essentially like a smiley smile. You know, it's the edge of a circle, you know, the tangent of a circle. And this set into it these two very bright LEDs, and you can't see them. They're inside the thing.
Yeah, they're
but
hidden,
like, shining out of these two holes at the on the top surface. So you can stand your favorite crystals on it.
I bet she loved it.
Yeah, she cracked. She said it's beautiful.
Aww,
so who knows? Who knows? I don't know if I'm dumped or not. Anyway, it's been a funny old week. That's what
you know. She's got the same birthday as one of my ex-boyfriends. September 18th?
Yeah, it's a very popular. Yeah. It's a very popular time. It's Colleen's birthday the day before.
Happy birthday, Colleen! It's missing everybody's birthday.
There's, you know, just loads of people who've got this birthday, and like my birth. Yeah. This is my unbirthday. The 18th is my unbirthday.
Right, because you're the exact opposite of something, right?
I feel the worst. I feel the worst on my unbirthday. It's like, leave me alone.
This time of year?
Yeah. It's like three. It's my girlfriend's birthday. Anyway, so... She's like, you heard my birthday. No, oh, God. Anyhow.
So did you get your 50 more LEDs? I never say it right.
LEDs.
You were going to get a bag of 50.
I haven't got the new one yet, but I've still got some of the old ones left. And
I was imagining with like hundreds of them, but you already used 50 of them. Okay.
Well, I've used about. I've made the light box. Used about 26 of them. Got like three banks of them. It's quite amazing how much light you can get out of these little Arduinos, and you know how much power you can transfer from these things. So, eventually I'll have little videos on how I made these.
Oh, good.
Essentially, these are devices and ideas that can break down color. In a way, it's really been an interesting process. And you're a color therapist. I've been colorblind, right? So, here I am dealing with red, green, and blue, and there's a point.
That is interesting.
All right, I haven't got to the thing here. Which is Nikki's present, which was the complementatron, right?
Yes.
Because it would have one. It would have one color that would cycle through the rainbow.
Okay.
But the other light is its complement.
Okay, right.
Which also cycles through the rainbow.
Right. Okay. Oh, very cool.
So that was that. Right. This is the ultra cool part of it. You see, is because it displays these two colors. It's more than just something that shines a pretty light. It's now demonstrating a vibrational truth that the healing always comes in the opposite, in the complement.
Yep.
This is something that over and over again Shari Edwards has proved to herself. It's the tritone. It's the complementary color is the healing.
The chakras, the colors, the tones. Always in the opposite, complementary.
So, I'm certainly going to publish the circuit. I'm probably going to make something that does this. It's probably not going to be made out of the same material,
right? Though.
Because it would take me too long to make the box
forever.
You know, but you know, I might be able to, for instance, take a big drill and hollow out a piece of oak, and then plug the ends or something like that, so that. You know, there's at least it's a simple, because I'll tell you.
So what happens to you when you look at it, since you're colorblind, or like what do you see?
Well, what's interesting is that I see, I go, oh, look, there's red, green, and, you know, what is it?
Okay.
I see, you know, I can see some of the colors, and then there's this color that is like, oh, it's quite nice. It's a sort of aquamarine that seems to be the same color as its complement.
Oh, really? How it looks to you?
That's how it looks to me. It's like it's because there's a certain amount of rods or cones missing.
Yes.
You know, I don't see the greeny of it. But
well, you know, they taught us a long time. If you take red and you shine a flashlight through it, you'll see green. Like, it's really weird how color works and how the eyes work.
Yes.
And is it? Yes.
Yes, indeed. Okay. Because that's the difference between pigment and light. Colored pigment is the opposite of colored light. Because
is that because of density?
Well, colored pigment red pigment reflects light and absorbs all colors. Red filters absorb all other colors and transmit red.
Now that went over my head, but it sounds interesting.
Well,
I didn't quite grasp that.
Well, it's red because it reflects red. So
okay, I got you.
Here's the thing: in my little box, in this box that I've created for my friend for the pigments.
Yes.
You don't need to be color. You can be colorblind and you can still do it, because.
Yeah.
Because, for instance, and. Again, Nikki and I discovered this. We were in my bedroom, and I've got this multicolored rainbow light thing set up, and I can close the door, and there's no light coming in. So
I love that. You have.
I call it the pixel room, because basically you can create any pixel color, any RGB color.
I love it. Okay.
And we were sitting in. You know, I normally have it in a violet light. You see. And,
yeah.
And we're sitting there, and I brought in some food, and we had like red chili peppers and green olives and various other things. And I brought this plate in, and we go, oh, wow, look at this. And, you know, there are different colors of light that make food look more or less appetizing.
Oh. Yeah,
and
that's interesting.
So what we also discovered is that, say you have green light, and you play it on a red chili.
Yes,
it is black.
Really?
Yeah.
It's just
black.
Hmm.
And if you have a green olive and you put red light on it, it's black. It's fascinating. To actually be able to separate the colors. And that's what this box is going to do. It's going to be able to say, there's a color, and you're going to be able to turn off the red, green, or blue component of it.
Okay.
Or solo on it, or whatever. So that you can determine what is the pigment you're looking at. How much red, how much green, and how much blue is in it. Because what happens is that even if you're colorblind, you can still see something light up or not light up.
Right, right. You're just not sure what.
Yeah,
what
it's a monochrome, but you can't tell what chrome it is. But
yeah,
it's fine. It's just, and so what you have in the color box is like three monochrome transmitters that are allowing you to break down the color.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
That's, so, yeah, it is really interesting.
And this is intimately tied up with my being offline.
Because yeah, you said, I heard you on one show, that you learn so much more about it without instruction. Like, just doing it all, you really got to understand it or learn what was happening.
That's right. That's right. It's been a very
important.
It's been like I've been on a kind of Jedi electronic school.
I bet you have.
And you know, indeed, in terms of fasting, and I was just going to say, you know, like the, you know, we talk about the day of fasting, is that for the last week I have been eating nothing but rice.
Oh, we've been eating nothing but eggs over here. I don't know why.
Oh,
a bunch of my friends and I. None of us have been eating either. Yeah. Just weird.
So weird eating habits. Okay, yeah.
Weird.
I've been on a rice.
On rice.
I've been eating rice, and I just boil some rice and add some sesame oil and some soya sauce. Stir it up. It's delicious. It's really delicious.
Yeah.
It's very nutritious. It's delicious, nutritious, and keeps you thin. And
white rice or brown rice?
Just white rice. Yes, cheap white rice. I can't afford anything
stuff.
So, but what was it? What was weird is that, you know, as soon as I had managed, and here's the thing: if I hadn't had the mental space of being away from the station and being online and having all these interruptions,
forever.
You know, I wouldn't have been able to get as deeply into this and actually realize, because halfway because I was building this thing and I had two circuit boards and the lines on the circuit board were going vertically, and then I was wiring from one set of four wires, a little wire going from one set of four wires to another set of four wires going to another set of four. It was wire everywhere. It was a real tangle. There came a point I'd done all this solder iron, this thing, and it wasn't working. It was all blinky and like, I'm not very well. And like, I'm thinking, this doesn't look very pro. This doesn't look very good. So I just looked at it and thought, what are you doing? I thought to myself, basically the circuit boards, if you turn them 90 degrees, then you don't need to tool the wires because it does the wiring itself. It is wiring. That's what a circuit board is. You know, it's made of wire. It's a flat copper wire thing. So once I realized that, I redesigned the circuit. I pulled it all. You know, I got new switches. I got new LEDs and put it in. And it's really neat. I'll publish. I'll probably make a video describing
YouTube.
This story. Yeah, for the
okay.
YouTube.
Okay. Very cool. So your girlfriend's building her cave.
She's been building her den.
And you've been building these huge circuit things and then taking them down.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like fun, though.
Yeah.
Perfect. I'm glad you got a break. I know it wasn't exactly planned, but I think it's good.
Yeah. But, I mean, so the weird thing is that, so I get Mark II, and it's up and running, and although I haven't programmed it, I've soldered it all together. Right? The programming I can do at any time. But I haven't, you know, the soldering is a big, you know, it's intricate.
Yeah.
It's intricate.
Yeah.
And you have to be completely in the moment to do soldering well. You know, it's like skill in action.
Yeah.
I mean, Nikki's really good at this. I mean, she uses soldering and she paints with it, basically. To make her jewelry. She's like melting it and drawing it along between two wires. It's very clever.
And she's Virgo too. She can detail.
She does all the detail things. So, you know, there you go. So, we are joined from somewhere. you're in Texas, aren't you, or something? Doc Who. Hi, Doc.
Yeah, how'd you know it was me?
Because it says it. On my I have a caller recognition thing called Skype, and if you call in and it says And you say you're Doc Who. I then put on the contact, this is Doc Who. So when you ring back, I know who you are.
Oh.
It's not magic.
I don't know who you guys are, too.
It's sufficiently advanced technology.
Yeah, it just keeps, technology just keeps getting worse, doesn't it?
Well, you know, I always say never rely on technology. And this is somebody who has been involved in technology all of my working life. Never rely on it. You know, if you think you've got a backup on your hard drive, make a tape. You know, write an optical disc. You know, back up the backup, because the backup might fail. You know, and then you're in deep doo doo. Yes. Yes.
Anyway, I heard you say 3 or 4 times to call in if you like, and so I finally decided, you know, see how it went and what you were talking about, so I'd give a ring-a-ding, and I did. So I wanted, you're talking about light, and I wanted to let you know that in the early 70s, when I went to University of South Florida, I went to a seminar at the school, and Dr. John Nash Ott from the Heat and Light Research Institute was there giving a talk. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot from him. And his great-nephew is Dr. A. Truott, who's on Friday nights on Revolution Radio. The story behind the story. Very, very intelligent guy. But one of the things that I learned from Dr. John Nash Ott, who did the time-lapse photography for the Disney Studios in the early days, showing different kinds of flowers blooming, time-lapse photography. But he was talking, one of the things that has stuck with me all these years is the fluorescent lighting that everybody sits under.
Mm.
The ballasts that are there, harmful to your brain. I don't remember if it was 60 cycles per second. Not sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, everything is 60 cycles. We'll talk about that. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, and anyway, the pink cast fluorescence they used to make caused the rats to lose their hair and their tails. And the cool white, which are so common and so cheap, I wonder why they made them so cheap, the rats lose their hair. And I know that's why people sitting in their cubicles and in offices and workplaces under fluorescent lights is partially responsible for them losing their hair and affecting their mind.
UV light. And there are 3 colors of UV, and they call them UV A, B, and C, but I would call them ultra red, ultra green, and ultra blue. And the...
Yeah, because the blue keeps you awake at night, right? They say to get those blue filters for your computers and phones.
Yeah, so the blue is... We associate the blue with daylight, you know, because that's the higher frequencies we get from the sun. And things like candlelight don't emit ultraviolet light. So we feel this comfort. And this sort of nighttime, evening, in close kind of thing with the fireplace and stuff like that. All low infrared frequencies, you know, not even going up to the green. So when you go, so the fluorescent tubes are essentially a mercury discharge.
Ugh.
I know it sounds awful, doesn't it? But this is what's been going on for the last, like, God knows how long. It's a mercury vapor that's heated to a certain degree, and then it ionizes and then starts emitting ultraviolet light. And then what happens is they wrap another glass tube around that, a much wider glass tube that has a fluorescent coating, which is something, fluorescent is something that glows in ultraviolet light. And that's how
fluorescent is what? It's something that what?
Fluorescent is you know, black light. You know when you go to discos?
Yeah.
That when you've got certain makes of brassiere on,
you can see them right through.
They light up, don't they?
Yes. Right?
This is fluorescence.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah. So you have to be very careful that you don't wear fluorescent bras. Every girl needs a black light, just to check.
Yeah.
All right? So black light is ultraviolet light. It's actually ultra-red. You know, the stuff you get in discos is ultra-red. It's quite safe. You know, it's just beyond the visible, and we can bear it. But the what's called UVC, which is ultra blue, can kill anything. You know, that's what they use to disinfect ponds and swimming pools and household and the Berkey light. The Berkey light can be used as a camp light, and it can yeah. That's an ultra blue light. It's got a UVC in it, you see. Okay, so what we're looking at, and this is what the problem is that the fluorescent powder ran out at the edges of the lamp. And what you could do is take some, ideally, lead tape, but you could use aluminium tape, you know, or, you know, the sort of the metallic tape that is flexible, so you can wrap it round and cover up that little very end. You know the bit that I'm talking about, the little shoulder of that, and that's where the leakage comes. And if you cover that up, you'll find there's a lot more safety in them, but there's not much, because you're talking about a mercury discharge. And that's the same with CFLs, by the way, folks. CFLs, the
is
complex...
Is that what was making the hair fall out of the wrap, or was it the color?
It's the ultraviolet light, It's the ultraviolet leaking out the edges, And then you've also got... Right. Okay. So now in America, you have 60 cycles a second. Now, if you, if anybody cares to, I have an interview with Bill Amels, and he's a paranormal investigator, and he discovered that certain types of electrical fault in American houses caused the something. I mean, for instance, you would have what's that called? An aquarium, and there was an aquarium that had the lights and the pump and everything like that. And so that had a an earth fault, and instead of being attached to the earth, it was attached to a neutral or a live, and it was radiating 60 cycles a second, and all the family were having hallucinations. Because 60 cycles a second is a mind control frequency.
So that's the poltergeist.
That's all your stuff. That's a lot. Well, I mean, he found a lot of these hallucinatory effects were because of the cycles of the energy. And this is your mains, and this is why.
I never heard that one before.
This is why when there's a storm and there's a power cut, you feel so much better.
Well, there's a story. Oh, when the power gets all shut off, like the transformers blow or something. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what we call a power.
Because I always heard it was underwater, you know, underground water sources, but I never thought about the house could be. So it was improperly wired, or
It was an aquarium pump that had been badly wired. And somebody had reversed the earth for the neutral.
Oh, so it wasn't the house. It's somebody that put something in the house that screwed it up.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
But it created a kind of feedback that radiated through the house as well. It was amplified by the electrical wiring of the house anyway. So to that end, brothers and sisters, I am wiring my house with DC.
Yeah, you better be careful.
Because, you know, a lot of houses,
eye on you.
Especially in Britain, I don't know if they do in America, are what's called a ring main. And it's so that when you plug your electric heater in one in one wall socket, your TV doesn't switch off. So it keeps it in a ring, so it doesn't like the drain doesn't go too. Anyway, long story. But this ring main basically surrounds you with a copper ring to control you with 60 cycles a second. Oh, God. Where'd you start if you're electrosensitive? I think the best thing if you're electrosensitive, just cut out yeast. Yeast seems to be the thing that makes everybody sensitive to everything. So if you eliminate yeast, we've been eating borax to kill it. Well, other people use, what's that other, bicarb? Bicarbonate of soda.
Right, sodium.
Actually, borax is a sodium, it's sodium tetraborate decahydrate. I learned that.
For short.
Borax for short.
He must have had that memorized.
Yeah. Oh, Nikki wrote it on she gave me a little jar of it and wrote it on the side, sodium tetraborate. So every time I saw it, I read it. You know, so
you remember the old movies where they would have, you know, just beginning into the electrical, everybody getting electricity, and they had one light bulb hanging down from the ceiling, and then all of these other things plugged into it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I found one of those the other day.
That mental picture. Well, Dr. John Nash, I also did experiments in Sarasota, Florida, with classrooms. And when they changed out the fluorescent lighting and put in the transistorized, I believe is what that was, ballasts, they did time-lapse photography because that was his thing. And the children were no longer hyperactive. There were certain kids in the class that were hyperactive. That went away. Now, this was back in the 70s, and I assume he did these experiments in the 60s.
Right. All that artificial stuff.
So, you know, you're talking about mind control with fluorescence and televisions and all this electronic crap.
Them up.
You know?
Wow, man.
So.
And then there you go. There you go with Big Pharma prescribing Ritalin.
Yeah, I'd like to see the time lapse on that. Here, administer the Ritalin, turn on the fluorescent lights. Here we go, kids.
Yeah, let's turn them on.
Okay, today we're going to study hyperactivity, kids. Tell me, hands up, who's been hyperactive recently?
Hey, look, it's just, not a theory, conspiracy-wise. It's a conspiracy.
Yeah, it's a real conspiracy, yeah.
Plugging all this stuff into that one light bulb that hangs down from the ceiling, going to all these different locations or appliances, and appliances us being us people. You know.
Wow.
Since not only is
that's
it insane,
why it's so it, quiet when you go to a cabin in the woods or like where you don't have electrical anything. It's like so calm.
Yeah, you're listening to 432 hertz vibrations in nature.
Yeah.
And
nobody
while we're on it,
anymore.
I just want to.
If you sleep on an inner spring mattress, you're sleeping on an antenna that picks up all these signals and magnifies them, amplifies them.
Wow.
So that's why I sleep on a waterbed and have most of my adult life.
Hmm.
And I can feel the 432 hertz music all night long because I leave it on the internet, and they've got 3 and 8 and 10 hour plays for nothing but 432 hertz tuned music, and I can feel it in the waterbed too.
Cool.
And they got surround sound around the bed.
He said his stereo was four way and you just love it in her room. So we're coming up to that.
Of course, I got shungite on top of all of that around everywhere.
Yeah, you should have shungite inside the water. You should shungite water in the waterbed.
I can do that. I got it in my drinking cup right now. I keep it all day long.
Excellent.
Three pebbles.
Mm-hmm.
Is it really true that we're at 33 hertz now or for the Earth?
Oh, right. Now, this the Schumann resonance.
Yeah, is that really real? I mean, is it really climbing that high?
Well, there is a Russian site that says it's that way.
Wow.
And we can believe the Russians, can't we? We never used it's funny, you know. I used to remember when you didn't believe the Russians and the Americans you could trust. Anyway. Oh, yeah. Exactly. Oh, yeah. That's it. See, Vanessa's saying, we were without power for a week after a hurricane. It was blissful, except for not having the coffee made when we woke up.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
I think
we're not spoiled, eh?
Yeah. Somebody has actually manifested for me a tease made, a goblin tease made, which is a it will make tea, right? the press of one button, at the activation of one button. You make a teapot, you put your tea bag in the teapot, you fill it with water, and you plug it in, and when you want it, you switch it on. And the idea is it's set up by a timer. So I'm going to hack it with a remote control, and it'll also probably have a ready button. A ready light that will light up my remote control so that when
that's
my
right,
tea is ready.
So you'll know.
Yeah.
You won't forget.
Did you say goblin?
Goblin teas made. Google it. Goblin teas made.
I will, but...
I know.
I'm just wondering at this point what you know about goblins.
Has it got a gin in it?
Coffee goblin. Tea goblin.
They usually show up around Halloween.
It's the Goblin Girl from this. Anyway, we are at the top of the hour, and I'm going to calm things down a bit. It's getting a bit too exciting here. bit too ADHD here, so let's turn off those fluorescent lights, and we're going to listen to some Bach. Mm-hmm. And welcome back.
So, hello.
Hello. Hang on, I'll just make a station announcement. I had a sip of tea. I just thought, I was talking about supplements. I was in the kitchen, I have some vitamin D. I'll have some glucosamine and chondroitin. I'll have some borax. Stick some borax down. I have some charcoal. Activated charcoal. Yeah, that'd be great. So...
I feel better now.
I hope I do. I ought to. If I don't feel any better, I'm going to stop taking this crap.
I say, old bean, you should feel better with all that plus more.
I'll be rattling just with rice. Hello, area code 21214. How are you? Who are you?
Brent, out of Dallas.
Brent, out of Dallas. Excellent. Hello. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm food for thought origin on the chat room.
All right. So
verified.
What's your thing?
Yeah, verified. And I'm USA King I, or Roman numeral 1. That usually throws people off. But,
well, anyway, we'll call you Brent, because that's easier.
That's just on. You know, that's just a role I play on Twitter. You know. I follow you on Twitter. You don't have much of an account, but that's okay.
Yeah, I don't do much tweeting. To be honest,
right.
I got the account because it was part of the when I set up the website, it asked me for my Twitter account. Yeah, I had this website thing, and so I had to make a Twitter account. So I put the Twitter account on, and I thought, I publicize my only kind of my main real big time things on Twitter, because it's like I don't tweet much. But thank you very much for coming in on Twitter. Great. So how are you?
Yes, sir. But you do not need to apologize for your Twitter account. That's for sure, because your forte is in radio, and I've been following you for some time, and I really appreciate all your contributions to mankind at this time in the world's history, I guess.
Thank you. I'm honored.
And I just called in. I do AC work, air conditioning. We call it AC work here in Dallas.
Oh, right. I was wondering whether you were like an electrician or you were gender specific.
You have to be. Go ahead.
Or whether you were talking a kind of a non-gender specific sort of thing. Anyway, sorry. My mind was on seven planes at once, so you got to catch the humor a bit quick. So anyway, yeah, sorry. So you've been working on AC, so this is about vibrations, yeah?
Right. And I just wanted to give you a report, because I've been following your little theory on polarity reversal. Your little baby on that. And I have never, in at least 12 years of experience on this matter, seen so many fans on the condensers outside the, for the air conditioning units. But I've never seen so many fan motors going in reverse.
And
I've had more capacitors this year blowing out than I ever have.
Wow.
And it's like we've had major polarity shifts on our 240 systems that must be reversing polarity, and all of your circuit boards are set up on polarity, so that your common definitely has to be your common, and then your power lead has to be your power lead. And if those get reversed, the boards don't even work. But I just wanted to let you know that, you know, from real life experience out here on the edge, what's going on, this is occurring more from my experience than I've ever seen before.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay. That's
no.
Report
go
for today.
Thank you very much. But here's the thing. All right. So this morning I read on my Facebook feed, of course, my only source of news.
FBI book.
last night, somewhere in Texas, the wind was blowing so hard that the spot price of electricity went down to a negative number, and I'm not sure if people are actually getting paid to use the electricity last night, but there was so much wind and so many wind turbines and so little power being used, because it was the middle of the night, that the price went into reverse. It went negative. So that might also be a factor. You know, I'm always willing to discount my own, you know, to debunk my own theories. But that's fascinating. So we're talking about hockey stick.
True.
How,
I haven't heard it before.
How do you think, you know, like I was saying, you know, earlier on, we used to have an eclipse, you know, once every couple of years, and it used to be a really special occasion. Now it's like once a month or every couple of weeks, because we're in the ecliptic plane. How has the intensity been rising of this phenomenon that you've seen?
Well, your explanation was as good as I've heard. The possibility of the leveling in that plane of our solar system and all the planets bobbing up and down like buoys on water, and that causing more eclipses. But I am really, I just have this gut feeling that we are a fractal-based, three-dimensional fractal-based multidimensional universe that is generating and not only in the physical or the observable sense, but also in the conscience sense, but the exact shape of what is actually going on out there is really hard for us as just regular working people to know for sure, because our so-called leading institutions are basically misleading institutions, and we can't really get good data. But it would be nice, a good intention would be to hope that we could get true scientific knowledge to the people finally in the coming years, so that we could all prosper and live in abundance as we should be.
Absolutely. And to that end, I think that's probably what New Paradigm Workers is going to be about. On a lot of my shows over the last few years, I've been trying to illustrate the gaps between the science as we've been taught in our schools and universities, between what is being used in the black operations, and I call that black op science, that's included in the spectrum of full spectrum science. That's what, you know, so I have an irregular show, which might become more of a regular show if anybody gets more interested in actually, you know, how to build things, you know, how to really use these scientific paradigms that are beyond the current paradigm. I'll start again. We need new science, and we need new technology that works with the new science, that proves the new science, that is, you know, using the new science. And since they won't give it to us, we have to make it for ourselves. And the more, my plan is, the more people who know about it, the less people they can kill. Or the harder it's going to be for them to kill. And if everybody knows about it, then they have to kill everybody. So, yeah, what? Yeah, what are you going to do?
Right, and they may be trying to do that. But, yeah, just another report I heard on, what show is that? Art Bell, of all things. I guess I was really...
Midnight in the Desert.
And there was a man named David Keith, who is out of the University of Nebraska, who has developed his own, and is developing his own, starship that will, will accelerate beyond the speed of light. And they are in the final testing phases of this, and will have the prototype built and operational hopefully by December. David Keith out of the University of Nebraska, he's doing this in his spare time and has a corporation. He's not going to file for a patent. He's going to keep his proprietary knowledge private. He is going to fight the institutions that be. But I thought that was fascinating, and he went into some detail. There were some things he would not release, of course. But they, so far, all their experiments are pointing to go, system go for the same crafts, obviously, that were re-engineered by, or not re-engineered, what's the word, JP?
Reverse engineered.
Copy the damn thing. Excuse my language.
Reverse engineering.
Yeah, reverse engineering, yes. That's all they can do. They're not creators. They're copiers. And they're playing by their old playbook since they've got their cabal, and they just know that if they go by their little book, that every generation will be put back under submission. But we've got their playbook now, and we know what they're up to. So, Brent. Yeah.
As an engineer, if, say, this thing happened, that our polarity reverses, as a professional engineer, somebody who actually knows about this stuff, because I don't, you know, I'm just like an amateur, but what conditions would you place to make it obvious?
Myself, but go ahead.
But you know, if you're, you know, okay, but you're here on the down, you know, you're here on the end, you're changing the bloody capacitors, right? You're having to do the thing.
Right.
How would you make sure that it doesn't happen? What steps would you have to take to prevent these things from blowing up? Because this might be, you know, it might be very important to have an AC unit for, you know, keeping blood cool or something like that. You know, not just for people, but for really important things. So what would be the, I can't remember, the contingency for such a situation? How much work would it take?
I'm not sure, but there is a way to detect it, I would imagine, if it reversed, you know, with some simple, like a simple test across the wires at junctions, such that if it did reverse, they could shut it down at least, and then possibly reverse it. But since we rely on central distribution right now, they would have to have that at the stations themselves that are producing the electrical. You know, when you have polarity, you know, if it does reverse, they would have to reverse it there, because we rely on that source. But if you had your own source, you could probably do things, take steps. I would have to look into it. To switch it back or shut it down and then check and then resupply or something of that nature, because it's just a binary thing, you know. It's
yeah.
Just a,
So what we'd need, something that would sniff the ground and tell what its potential was, and you'd have a massive relay that would either switch it negative or positive. But here's the thing. What would happen, Brent, if in, say, one county things were minus and other counties think the ground was plus? It could get weird.
I don't. That's what I'm saying. This is really a strange phenomena, you know, that I know it can happen, but for fan motors, you know, a motor is just a controlled short. It's just, you know, and producing the electromagnetic field there, there's always a short between the two. It just has a high ohm rating or resistance. But for fan motors to go in reverse, you know what that does to air conditioners? That means your compressor gets blowed up too after a short period of time.
Brent, I've got an experiment that you can try on the QT, and that is get some shungite band-aids and put them right on the electric motor housing, and that should reverse the toroidal rotation from counterclockwise to clockwise. And I put a band-aid on the fan I got in my living room, in my bedroom, and it's on a stand, you know, it's up where it comes across the bed. And keeps me cool. And it changed pitch because it was running when I put the Band-Aid on. And it changed pitch, and it sounded better.
Right.
So you might try that with some of these electric motors. Do a control study. And the Band-Aids are, I don't know if you want S4 or JP can tell you whether the S4 Band-Aid or the standard Band-Aid would work best, but they're not expensive at this point, but this stuff comes from Russia, so we never know when we're going to get cut off from that supply. But Peter the Great let his troops, you know, revive in the waters around the giant shungite deposit, which is the carbon-60 molecule, which had to have been formed in outer space, not on this planet, from what I understand. JP, do you concur? Or?
Well, I bought a bag. I bought one of JP's baggies. I imagine he was doing it by hand then.
Know,
one of the little bags. With a ribbon around it. That was cute.
Well, these are the ones, you know, it's like, I know. Are you the one who liked the big bags of it?
I only got one bag. That's all I could afford at the time.
All right. You know? Okay. So, yeah, I know. Very cute. I mean, we sell them, you know. That's all we can get from the local craft shop, you know, of a sort of a transparent bag that is, you know, not going to fall apart. Anyway, sorry.
Right.
So go ahead.
What do you think about my idea, JP?
Sorry, two questions.
Check into
the Band-Aid. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's have you played with this stuff, Brent?
Not really.
Take a piece. All right, here's an experiment. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've been doing some weird stuff, like, you know, wrapping copper around it and trying to get it some stress on it and see if I could. But I don't really have the time right now, you know.
Have you put an electric meter on it? It shows no resistance. It shows zero resistance. It's like metal, but it's a piece of rock. It's really weird.
I don't have. When I was in college, we had, you know, I took a course in instrumental analysis, in which we had the equipment that you could, really do some studies. And I just don't have that kind of equipment to be working with at this point in my life. So I kind of just, you know, end more into the mental. Hopefully at some point in my life I can get back into research and development. But I'm more concerned about education right now. I was a teacher in mathematics for high school until they fired me, or tried to. They couldn't even do that right. But you know, it's hard to pass 90% of your students in mathematics at the algebra level when they don't know arithmetic. And they just did not understand that, and so we came to blows. And after a period of time, thank God I got fired. You know, thank God they got rid of me, but because you know, that opened my eyes to what's going on.
Everybody's got their wake up points, eh? So you got fired. What happened?
Well, basically, like I said, I refused to pass on a quota basis 90% of my students. You know, they you walk in and they say, you're going to pass 90% of your students. I said, only 50% of them can pass. Well, that doesn't matter. You know, you're going to pass 90%. Whether you like it or not. And that's the way it works. Now all they have is, you know.
It's insane.
Yeah, it's insane. So I had to get out of it.
Housing the kids. They're just housing them. When I was in education, they were having kids in high school that couldn't read, and they just kept passing them along.
Yeah, this is in 96 that happened to me. Yeah, that's all the way back to 96 in Dallas, DIC. I'm trying to get a lawyer to take the case for, you know, like, unlawful, you know, discrimination, capricious and arbitrary treatment, and this type of, but there's not a lawyer in Dallas that'll go against them because they have on hand at least 1,000 lawyers to take care of the situation for them, make sure they can wipe teachers out that they want to.
God showed up at the gates of hell and told Satan that you've got one of mine, I want him back. And Satan says, no, you can't have him. And God says, well, if you don't, I'm going to sue you. And Satan says, oh yeah, where are you going to find a lawyer?
Yeah, right. I know that. I call them attorneys, yeah, when you get in semantics. But that's what I'm
talking about. Attorney means change of landlord.
Yeah, Satan. But I hear you, Jim. Yeah. It's a pleasure talking to you guys. You know, I don't get to do this very often. Most people think I'm just crazy.
No,
we don't think you are.
Can I ask a question back to the polarity thing or the reversing of the polarity?
Yes, ma'am.
So it wouldn't help if you had surge protectors, because it just wouldn't help. If the polarity switched, then your surge protector can't stop the flow, or would that help at all? So things
don't
blow up.
Well, I refer that to JP, but it's pretty simple. Yeah, surge is surge. Direct short is direct short. Yeah, you get direct shorts, there's no telling what's going to happen, what's going to burn up. But if you reverse the polarity on things, they just blow up.
It'll just go right. It'll just, okay.
Well, for instance,
yeah, a little bit like on a capacitor and on a capacitor or on a fan motor, they're just controlled either capacitance. They build up capacity of electric and then they release it. It's a chemical way of layering it. And that gives you a boost in voltage or whatever. But it doesn't matter if you have positive on, it has two tabs at the top. It doesn't matter which one's positive or negative. It'll still work. And then on a fan motor, for example, the windings in it, it doesn't matter which one's positive or negative, but it will change the direction of the fan depending on which is which on some types. You know.
Wow. And you're already seeing that happen.
Yeah, I'm just seeing more and more of that. I've seen three this year, and the first one I was like, gosh, this has never happened to me in this way.
Yeah,
you know, because we have wiring on replacement motors where you can actually reverse the fan, and usually it's just a fan motor reversing wire. You connect the right leads and you can make it go either direction.
So hang on a second, Brent.
I've seen three already. What?
So let me just cut in, because this is a very important point. AC is how alternating current is how lines are the current is transmitted, right? If the polarity of the right. So the idea is that we use the ground, and the potential of the wire changes with respect to the potential of the ground. And has been negative ground for, you know, time immemorial, as far as we're used to. But what if we're building our campsite on the back of a giant turtle, you know, that wakes up, right, and then flips over? So now we're positive ground, and just think what that sounds like. That sounds good, doesn't it? I'd like to stand on positive ground.
Yeah.
All right. How about what happens to AC when the ground goes positive? Right.
Actually, AC, when you look at a graph of it, at least on a flat graph, and you see the sine wave curve, right? Can you picture that, the sine wave curve on
so the curve goes, I mean, it's like a C wave, and it goes up above the horizon and then down below the horizon. The horizon is where it's zero.
It's like a snake.
Up in the north, when it's up in the north, it's positive, and when it's down in the south, it's negative. Okay?
Right. It's just a wave. It's energy, and it's got a wave energy that looks like a sine wave. Okay, so you have this energy that we call electricity that really nobody understands completely what electricity is, but, ask any engineer, electronic engineer, what a coulomb is, and he probably doesn't know, and it's the basic unit of electricity. But anyway,
And you have nobody remembers Monsieur Coulomb.
Yeah, Coulomb. Yeah, he defined it. He didn't discover it. He just defined it. Anyway, you have this snake that is your energy wave. Okay, so you have energy coming out. And it, various places around the world, it's different voltages and stuff. But then you have another sine wave that intercepts that one. Another snake laid on top of it that hits it at intersections, which causes so that they can harmonize, so that one is up when the other one's down, when one's down the other one's up, and this kind of thing. So it's not even based on ground per se to produce energy. You don't even have to have your fan motor grounded at all. If that energy is flowing through the coils in that manner, that wouldn't necessarily, if there was a polarity shift on the turtle, and he all of a sudden became positive, your motors would still be running. But there are windings in there that help do the direction on it, you know. And now, but somewhere where that's being supplied, there's ground somewhere, you know. And eventually that goes back, but so, because all your other systems, like the 110 volts, which these run off of, they'd be on other appliances or whatever. Most of our systems do have a common, which really goes to ground. But when you go dual phase, then you're really just, so I don't know for sure, but so most of your appliances, though, that most people are aware of, you have a grounding system, and if it just switched, there's no telling what will happen. But I know this: if you reverse the polarity on any of your circuit boards of any kind of
anything with semiconductors,
they won't work.
Yeah,
they won't work. They don't even have error codes, so they can't detect it. They have error codes saying polarity is reversed.
Oh, lucky them. Some things to have. most things that you have, you know, anything that you'd use in your house will not. You know, basically the earth is going to go anything that's attached to Earth may go positively charged, might have quite a charge, you never know.
Because
there was a prophecy by the Hopi. I like the Hopi prophecies. They seem quite kind of, oh, they're going to happen. Yeah.
Connected.
Yeah. I get the feeling that they're going to happen, you know. And one of them is that the all of our machines turn around and bite us. This is a lovely way of being electrocuted by things that are reversing in polarity.
Will that affect our brain and our body too?
Yeah.
Like in the Earth? Like
yeah.
The whole, like,
yeah.
We'll all just.
Yeah.
Cross wire.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Wow, that's a fun ride.
See, this is one of the things that I've been talking about with Alex Collier.
Right.
It's not just a random idea. It was something that he said actually about 3 years ago in an interview that never got published that I did. And he was talking about when Atlantis fell, one of the problems was that there was a pyramid that was wired positive ground and it went negative ground, and they tried to keep it positive ground and they blew out a huge cavern underneath it, and then it collapsed into it, and that's what caused everything to sink. So that's what happened the last time. So what we're trying to avoid, we want to ride this wave. We want to go on the positive ground wave.
Right, not try to stop it or keep it the same.
That's right. If we can find a way of rewiring everything so everything's positive ground instead of negative ground.
So it'll just switch over like a train track.
Exactly.
Okay,
there's a thing.
Way, let's switch.
Yeah, there are things called relays that you can use to reverse the polarity.
Yeah.
So
they would use that in the main.
I'm sorry.
Places. Oh, sorry.
Sorry, Brett.
I'm sorry, but there's been examples. You probably heard it, JP. Somebody up in North America experienced. There's been like sections of the Earth that have experienced this, and for some reason or other. Where it happened, and have you heard?
Because I was just imagining that a few minutes ago, saying, "What if one state was positive ground and another state was negative ground?" But that actually has happened, has it? Oh, right. Okay, so we see that when the magnetic pole reverses, it flippers around all over the place. You know, they're like little patches of magnetics that are north, like, you know, in Africa or, you know, in China or somewhere. It doesn't flip over in one easy swoop.
Is that why
it flips around.
Falling out of the sky? I think
the birds are falling because of certain experimental things that are going on.
Magnetic.
Yeah,
okay.
But it might be. You never know. I know that the thing about fish falling out of the sky and toads and stuff all comes back to that planet that I was talking about that was whizzing around the.
With the tail.
With all the bits and pieces and frogs and things, that's like bits of planet. You know.
Wow.
So,
go ahead.
Have you explored that primary water?
Is that the subterranean one, or is that the one that comes from space?
The subterranean.
Go ahead.
They're claiming the amount of water under the crust, covering, and the crust is approximately, from what I understand, about 200 miles down. But under that, there's more water that is being actually produced by the Earth. Mother Earth is producing pure, clean water down there with the certain elements, the stones, etc. And it's producing the purest, cleanest water ever you can imagine. And then it comes to the surface, usually in volcanic eruptions, you'll see some of it. But there's more water. There's almost 5 to 10 times more water than that's already on the surface of the Earth.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
I've heard that.
I've heard that.
I've heard that too. But wow.
And I would lay a dollar to a donut. It's ordered water.
Yeah, structured. Yeah.
Right, it's perfect structure. It's like if you drank that, you'd be a Superman or Superwoman.
Well, that's one good thing about Shungite. I've got 3 Shungite pebbles in my drinking mug, along with some lemon, to remain alkaline. And cancer cells cannot survive in an alkaline system.
Well, I don't know.
I'm telling you, and the hertz reading on refined sugar is 528 hertz. And that's what Saturn broadcast is, 528 hertz. And people that claim, like Dr. Leonard Horowitz, I won't mention any names, say that 528 hertz is the heart chakra, and that's bad information.
Ah.
Yeah, we don't really support Mr. Horowitz.
What about honey?
Honey is gorgeous. I love honey. I've just put a spoonful of honey in my chamomile tea here, because I'm on a honey fast. Yeah. So,
but always buy local honey. So, don't get it from the grocery store.
So have you heard me go on about the nung, Brent?
Yep. And taking it to heart.
You're taking it to heart.
Yes.
Good. Because it's I mean, it's something that is like, we didn't know. You know, I'm just discovering, like, nobody knew. Whoop, that's
me.
Well,
starting to know.
Okay. Yeah, people have been talking about yeast for a long time.
Yeah.
And,
a lot more to it.
There is, isn't there?
Yeah, but I like your approach. Yeah.
Go ahead, Deb.
Oh, I'm just thinking, because I keep reading all this stuff now with the nanoparticles and the biofilm, and this whole thing set up for information to go through us and change our direction. It's fascinating. And it's everywhere.
Yeah.
So, change your consciousness.
You can put 52 nanobots across a human cell. And my information says that it's produced by aliens.
I don't know why that makes me laugh. Yeah.
Well, you know, if you have a bunch of nanobots in a bottle, it would look like a black glue. It would look like
there
black glue.
Go. That's,
you know, or
there
a black powder.
That's another program.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a whole other program.
That's what nanobots look like.
Shocked,
you know?
If you get shocked, it kills a lot of them.
If you get what?
If you get shocked. If you get shocked, it kills a lot of them.
Oh, right. Well, electric shock.
Yeah.
Ah, yes. I have a video that I haven't seen yet that is called Nanobot Shock Thing. Yeah, talking about that subject, yeah. using electric shocks to get rid of nanobots. That's a good thing. I'm working on this thing that is going to be called the Energizer, which is a terribly cheesy name for this thing, which is essentially, you put various tools on it, and you can have a pulse laser, or a pulsed color, or a pulse 660 nanometer wand, or even a pair of sunglasses or a pair of headphones, and you can plug all these things into it, and it will pulse frequency for you. You know, you can program it with frequencies, and you can, you know, tune a dial, and it will have your different frequencies on it. And
My project. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Your project.
My project right now is open a infrared sauna spa with light therapy and sound therapy.
Well, there you go. Are you going to be taking from the work of Shari Edwards?
I'm not too familiar with her work.
All right, well,
I've done
listen to some of my shows.
You mean with the sound therapy or the light therapy?
The sound therapy.
Sounds good.
And with light therapy, how about our very own Debrielle right here on this station? Do you have any questions?
You have the
oracle right here. She's been a sound healer so much she's retired from it. She's been a color healer, sorry.
I like everybody at Wolf Spirit.
That's right. Well, that sounds nice though, Jackson.
Yeah, I found a place. The first place I looked at was a 100-year-old house, 2-story, 7 bathrooms and 6 bedrooms. But she wants $500,000 for it because it's downtown. It's half a city block. So I've backed off, and I found another place for $1,000 a month that used to be a doctor's office with examining rooms, which would be ideal as well.
Okay. Cool.
But,
you know, one of the things...
Not for me. What?
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I forgot what I was going to say now.
No one. Sorry.
Oh, the infrared, far infrared saunas remove toxins up to 3 inches deep at one visit of 20 minutes or so.
What frequency is that then, Doc?
You know what? That's a good question. It's infrared.
Yeah, I've been working with 660 nanometers. That's the...
What is it?
660 nanometers. I can't tell you what that is in terahertz.
Okay. Well, Walt Silva built a far infrared sauna in his closet or something. That's what I'm thinking about doing here. You get them prefabbed, and it takes 45 minutes to put together, and they use almost no electricity.
All right. Are they LED?
What's that?
Do they run on LEDs?
Well, it's far infrared now. I don't know that that's LED.
Yeah,
they're ceramic.
A ceramic. Oh, I see. All right. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, there's a different technology. Okay. Good. Good. Interesting.
I couldn't find
anybody.
Have
you all heard?
Heard? Go ahead, Deborah.
Oh, I wondered if any of you heard. The other day I heard something. It was the first time I had heard it, that you have to be careful with the frequencies, though, because sometimes they can activate the nano instead of get rid of it. It can excite them and make them grow.
Well, that would be a good thing to find out, but it would be...
Yes, what?
It would be better to find out the one that shuts them off.
Pardon me?
It would be better to find the one that shuts them off.
My opinion is that the nanobots and all of that kind of stuff operates on all the polluting frequencies that they project on us.
Mm.
So if you get all the right frequencies, if you look at the website A42, I think it's A432 Hertz. Chakras Explained, and that's what's his name? Can't think of his name right now.
And the nano, or it's attached to the nun.
Oh, people's nerves are getting eaten up. Their nerve endings are just dissipating.
Ah, that's what mercury does to nerve endings. Do you ever see that?
Yeah, that's what's in the vaccines.
Yeah, exactly. So, So, basically, stay away from metal. Stay away from the soft metals.
Get rid of your inner spring mattress.
You got spring mattresses. If you got a metal bed frame, that's another thing. You know, it's still, you're still surrounded by something that can pick up. Look, every piece of metal of any length will pick up a frequency. And if you just happen to have the unfortunate frequency or the unfortunate length that is your bed, you may pick up a radio signal from the nearby military base. You know.
Hey, wow. When I got out of the Navy, I was a communications technician at a top secret clearance, and it was a number of days after I got home.
Oh, sorry.
I was picking up Morse code in my fillings. So I was wondering if they put the Navy put something in my fillings, a transmitter or something, a receiver. That was just weird.
What were the messages he saying?
I don't remember.
Must be annoying. It's like having foreigners talking with you when you're in the room. What are they saying?
Do you ever think you could get your frequency high enough so that these things could just bounce off you or through you? Like, where...
That's what the whole...
I sleep with 432 hertz music on all night long.
Okay.
But also...
But I mean organically, just naturally.
Color-wise, right? That's why, you know, that's why they talk about, you know, using a violet flame, because the violet is a higher frequency
right.
than
it'll
the,
burn off.
Yeah, than the blues right. or the reds and the greens, you see? So by vibrating at the higher violet frequency, so basically mm-hmm. it's, the flame is just to key you in to being on that frequency, to tune into that frequency, so that it takes you above the red-green polarity, the red-blue polarity. Because this is, every political party in every country, there's one that's red and one that's blue, and then there's others, but the ones that are red and the ones that are blue are the ones who make it. You know, and it's the people, and in Britain, the people who support the blue party are the Tory, the Conservatives, the right wing. And in America, the people who support the Blue Party are the Democrats, the left wing, and what's going on? There's this the same. They're using the same color against an opposition. You know, we drive on the left, you drive on the right. All sorts of different things to get our polarities flipped.
Yeah,
it switches us.
Well, my understanding is that the 432 hertz is the sound of nature. And the natural sound of the universe, and that's why I'm tuned to it, because I want to stay in tune.
Well, 216 is the octave below 432. 216 is the cube of 6. And if you remember Tesla, he said, "If only you were to know the mystery of the 3, 6, and 9, you would know the key to the universe." So there, I've just given you one of the keys of the universe. Is I won't repeat it. You can listen to the show
the
3, 6, 9.
Uh-huh. You'll understand a lot.
So if you cube 6, if 6 times 6 is 36, 6 times 36 is 216. 216 times 2 is 432. Half of 216 is 108. That's a very significant number for a lot of... Lots of Buddhists and things. There are 108 beads on the mala, what do you call it? A rosary. There are 108. I think the frequency of the pyramid is actually 108. They say it's about 110. I think it's 108. That's the natural, and it's an A. You know, it's the lower, the fourth, the second octave of A, and then below that is 54, which is my age right now. And I believe that that your electric mains should run at 54 cycles a second. Because then that would tune you into
60,
an A.
Right?
That would, instead of 60 or instead of 50. In Britain we have 50. In America you have 60. I think it should be 54. Yeah. And then everybody would be in love with each other. Because our houses would hum with the hum of the heart. It's just a tiny retuning. I've actually thought about creating what's called an inverter, which takes DC, which has no cycles, and creates mains by chopping it up and then filtering it and then transforming it back up again. So at that point, I could change the frequency of it. I could affect the frequency. I might experiment with that one day when I've got some... when I got some spare time, maybe.
Let's hope I get. Who's your friend, JP, that has the galaxy with the Shanghai, the lady, I forgot her name.
Walt Silva.
Nancy?
Walt Silva.
Oh, Nancy?
No, Walt.
Nancy Hopkins.
You're Walt.
You have those frequencies listed on... for the different frequencies to get rid of things or to help healing.
Oh, yes, on Cosmic Reality.
Posted.
Yeah, Cosmic Reality.
Cosmic Reality.
Yeah. Yeah, there are links
to... CosmicReality.com, you can find those frequencies that you feel might be beneficial for people to listen to. Readily available, right?
That's right. That's right. Go ahead.
What if you just kept holding the thought or the feeling of love, and then yourself and your body finally get in tune with that? Wouldn't you just automatically raise high enough where nothing would touch it?
Sure.
Or even if you were just to focus on a color, Deb, you know, you can use violet.
Yeah.
You could have
Well, we've been doing that. We've been doing that. That works.
Doesn't it?
It's got me singing and dancing. That turquoise did something, boy. I like it.
Yeah. So, hey, shall I give
everybody... Your violet did to you.
Yeah, hey, let's do a color... Do you guys want a color reading? Where the heck is it? Jeez. Oh, I know. I got one on the back of Wall Spirit Radio, I think, or certainly at the back of my website. So let me just have a look here. Waking the world, one show at a time. I realized that actually was a quote from my guides, from my spirit guides.
Oh, cool.
It was like, you will work one person at a time. You know, you will do this job one person at a time. Come on. Sorry, I'm just logging into the back here. I've got the image of it. But basically, what I can do is there are 12 colors in the full chromatic octave, as there are 12 notes in the full chromatic octave of sound. That's not working. Let me just wake. Yeah, I think come over here. Not that one. No. I'm looking through all of these. Right, by the way, wolfspiritradio.com/tune, T-U-N-E, check out the website there that is made by Brad Coates or Cortec from Rev Radio. I gave him a little sandbox he can play with, and he's made a fantastic website, all called, this is basically Retune the Planet, Retuning the Planet. So, okay, open a new window, you're joking. Somebody told me. if you may, would you like a color reading, guys?
Sure.
I do.
What are we doing? What are you doing? Rays or colors or what?
I'm gonna do, because I said I'd do some readings what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna find a color for you. Okay. I'm gonna douse this color wheel. I just, you know, I'll talk to you for a little while and tune into you. When I can find the color wheel and I bring it up on my screen. Here we are.
Oh, like what you were doing before, you taught me.
Yeah, I've done one for you. I've done one for you, Deb. We done one. So actually, while I'm looking for this chart, can you just fill the guys in on what I'm doing?
Oh, where you take the pendulum and you find out what color you need most to work with, or what vibration color-wise you need at that time. Is that what you're talking about, or are you talking about the color ray reading?
Not the ray reading, but the color wheel.
The other one, So he just takes a pendulum, because I used to do this by sight. I was trained by sight, but I never thought about using my pendulum. And then after we had talked on the show I did with him about the colors, he told me about how he had used this pendulum and just went right to a color wheel and just said, what color do I need right now or most to work with? And it works, and it went to it. And then I figured out later that the complementary color is often the one you have excess of. It may or may not be, but you need that color, whatever one it says, to help balance out your field or where you might have an imbalance in the chakras. And it really works. And you can use the tone that goes with that color, too, or the visual of it. Like, he used the lights, or we can use the screensaver. And I did it for a while, too, and woo, it's strong. And I did it for the collective. I was doing it for, but I stopped doing it. I kind of went a different direction right now. But yeah, I thought that was a great idea, JP. I really
here's a bit of news for you guys.
What's that?
Don't wear anything but 100% cotton, because synthetic fibers impede greatly your
the
heart.
Flow. Yep.
Good idea.
It's true.
So.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, let me just. I'm not quite. Because I found a really great wheel when I first did it, and it had like all the loads of correspondences on it, and I can't quite find it. It was a nice sort of triangle one. But anyway.
Yeah, you like that one with the little circles, the triangles and the circles? I could find it. How do you plop it into the chat?
Just drag it in.
Drag it in? Yeah. Okay, well,
so.
Because I have it here somewhere.
Okay, well, I've got the. Yeah, well, that's an interesting looking.
It sounds like a pie chart to me.
Yeah, well, this is like a star chart. It's beautiful. Okay, guys, first of all, is it Brett or Brent?
You're going to rattle me, huh? I hope my color doesn't come up black.
Deep dark purple.
I'm always a little tenuous about different types of tests, because I'm afraid I might find out more than I want to know.
Well, don't be afraid to find out the truth about yourself, because know thyself is the first directive. So, is there an N in your name? Is it Brent or Brett?
Yes, it's Brent, like Brent C. Crude that they quote on the New York Stock Exchange every day.
Okay. Good. So, Brent, let's start with primarily blue.
Oh.
Have you heard about this reverse speech?
Interesting. You are getting a blue violet. So it's a very high frequency that is the color that you need to integrate with, and I can actually probably find you the.
Is that like indigo?
It's
like indigo.
Yeah, I'll just drop this this chat. I'll drop this into the chat, and you'll see the color.
I try.
And then you can get the RGB from this. Okay.
But
so you get a specific color, but that might be a B flat or something. When's your birthday?
January 14th.
Really?
Hmm.
Hey, Capricorn. Right. Let me just check. So this page here, and then I need to drag that into this. Okay. Right, yes. Never mind. Get it. Look, we need to go to the next show right now. Your color is a blue violet. Doc, I'll give you a reading another day. Okay?
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. This has been Ever Beyond. And
okay, thank you.
I can't find my outro. All right, well, I'll just stop it right now. Bye.